Hello and welcome into the second in this series of reflections on holiness with a W. If you missed why we're spelling it with a W, you can always check out the first in the series if you want a bit of a catch up. But for today, we're going to pause and ask ourselves this question. What does it mean to be human? And hopefully we'll end with what that has to do with holiness with a W. This is a question that in many respects human beings have been asking for a very long time, and there are all sorts of ways to tackle it and approach it and engage with it that offer a lot to think about. One I want to focus on today comes from the Jewish and Christian tradition, which is found in the story of Genesis. Now, you might have heard all sorts of things about the creation stories in Genesis, but what I want to say today is that they offer us or invite us to reflect on human meaning as being grounded in this identity of the image of God, the image of the divine. We get the Latin phrase, which gets used a lot in theological circles, of the imago Dei, the image of God. Now, this Genesis creation story, as curious as it is, probably emerged right in the ancient world amongst the nation of Israel and people of Israel as this kind of oral tradition. And it's possible that it emerged after their exodus, their liberation from Egypt and slavery, and became a story that they told to one another. It certainly, as far as we can tell, is captured and written down in the time of exile many centuries later, when their little empire, if you like, has fallen, their city has been destroyed, they've all been carried off into exile, slavery, and other things. And this story, this creation story that is told here, it's one of the creation stories in Scripture, is this mythic retelling of their own story in a way that helps them to grasp a different way of seeing themselves in the world that they live in, given all of this promise and beauty, and yet what have they done with it, right? So it's a way of trying to reflect on their own story. And as they reflect on that, right, they are invited to see this truth that they claim within the grounds of their own tradition that says human beings are to be defined not as slaves or subjects, but as God's image. In many parts of the ancient world, kings and pharaohs, maybe like the pharaoh that enslaved them in Egypt, or the king Nebuchadnezzar, who many centuries later had destroyed their city, the kings and pharaohs were seen as the image of the gods. They were special, close, some even times semi-divine figures. But in this Genesis creation story that the ancient Jewish people would tell, all human beings were created in God's image. All were affirmed. All image the divine. And that's a really revolutionary, we might even say progressive, kind of idea in that time and place. And ever since then, there have been lots of conversations going on within Jewish tradition and Christian tradition and others about what it could mean to say that we're the image of God. I want to say just a couple of things about that today, and then we'll finish with a moment of reflection. Perhaps the first thing to say is just that naming humans as the image of God is to name humans as a good and beautiful thing. To be human is a beautiful and wondrous invitation. Yes, I know, we're capable of terrible stuff. But at the heart of human identity is this call to image God. Now, of course, again, as always, that depends on how we see God. But my suggestion to you is that God is best captured in notions of love and relationship. And so to image that kind of God is a beautiful idea. Sometimes we resist this kind of idea because we're so aware of all the ways we're not beautiful and good, right? And yet this is still the invitation. This is still the starting point of reflection on what it is to be us. And then further to this, like as a second part of that conversation, one of the ways that theologians sometimes understand this idea of the imago Dei is to think about its connections to the Jewish word of shalom, which is this ancient idea of wholeness or peace or relational harmony. And because our understanding of the divine is grounded in love and relationship, then love and relationship become central to the way in which we understand human beings who image the divine. And so this idea of harmony with God, harmony with creation, with others, and even with self, this sits at the very center of human identity as the image of God. We see this reflected in things like the Great Commandments within the scriptural story of love God and love your neighbor as you love yourself, something that for Jesus in particular summed up the whole conversation. And what this suggests to us is that yes, we image the divine. Okay, that's a powerful affirmation in itself. And it's a much better starting place than you're a terrible, depraved sinner who deserves great wrath and punishment. It's not to ignore our capability for harm, but that's a terrible starting point for a conversation. So we've got this image of the God of God that is grounded in love, affirmation of who we are, and then this reflection that this is not in isolation. Everything is interconnected. God and us, us and the world, me and you, even within myself, it's all interconnected. And so our spirituality, our faith, our connectedness to God, right, at its best, this becomes a way for us to cultivate this desire for a movement towards this kind of harmony and in the context of this conversation, toward a kind of wholeness or holiness. This is, again, not about some kind of moral perfection. It's not about eliminating suffering or pretending things aren't hard, because they certainly are at times. But it is about starting with this being named as holy, as sacred, as the image of the divine, and working it out from there. So for today, you don't have to battle on in isolation. You don't have to make sense of your life, fix all the broken bits before you're worthy to be loved or known. You don't have to figure it all out yourself. You're not on your own. Even the very air you breathe in the ancient texts of scripture is a symbol of God's breath and of God's spirit. Even the air you breathe is reliant on the trees and the oceans. So it's reliant on the earth, and it connects you with the humans around you. We are all deeply interconnected, whether we realize it, feel it, or see it. So I want to finish today with another reflection, and I have a kind of benediction for you, a prayer of blessing for those who maybe feel far from harmony and shalom and wholeness. And so once again, I'm going to invite you to slow down, to pause, to become still, perhaps to close your eyes, and to breathe. To tune into that sense of breath in and out. When the ancients spoke of God's spirit, they talked about this idea of ruach, of the spirit as the breath of life. So as you feel your breath come and go, come and go, let it be an image, a metaphor, a symbol of divine life. And in this moment, as you continue to breathe and allow your heart and your mind to stop racing for a moment, let me offer you this benediction, this blessing, this prayer. For those who feel far from God, may you come to know the closeness of the divine in whatever way makes most sense to you. For those who feel far from others, may you come to find a sense of home in the company of kind and generous souls who make space for you as you truly are. For those who feel far from creation, may you come to sense the rhythm of life and the spirit humming beneath the surface of things. And may you be surprised by a sense of connection to all that surrounds you. And for those who feel far from themselves, may you come to make friends with your own soul, seeing the best and the beautiful when you're tempted to look past it, that you might be able to acknowledge the image of God that is within you. That's all for today. Thanks for tuning in.